morning, everybody.
Morning.
You guys are moving a little slow today. Is that because it's too much turkey? Dressing? Collard greens? Macaroni and cheese? Pumpkin pie? Sweet potato pie? Spice cake? Thank you, Dina. What's that? Put it on the plate. Okay, all right, all right. We do have several members that are out because of the Thanksgiving holiday, so please keep them in your prayers as they travel back home. We're going today after service to Baton Rouge, Louisiana to visit my father. I shared last week that he did have surgery on his eye, on his right eye, and it was successful. He has 40% of vision, and so we're hoping that that will increase. While we are there, he will be going to the doctor to check on it, and so hopefully that percentage will go up. We definitely want him to see our grandbaby, his great-great-great-grandbaby, and but it is challenging when you are when you can't see, and you need somebody's assistance. And so he's been battling through getting the help from his wife that he needs as we enter that time in our lives, you know, and he's been doing it with a great attitude. It's not easy, and I know that the prayers have been felt, and I want to thank you for that. We also, as we have people that are gone, we have a couple that are here from Goiânia, Brazil, and that is Carl and Fatima. Stand on up. Diakinos. They are from Brazil. They live here in the United States for several months, and then they go back to Brazil. So we had a great Thanksgiving time with them at the Millers. A great couple. Please get to know them. They are just really encouraging. Been around for a long time and have a lot to share. So thank you so much for deciding to drive up from Claremont to be with us. So they are definitely a great a couple. Also, we wanted to share just our thoughts on last month and how it was on the subject of prayer. And we talked about how prayer is like this conversation with God, this exchanging of wishes. And we focused on these seven words, not my will, but what? But yours be done. Was that challenging? I don't know about you, it was challenging for me. All sorts of stuff came out in me. I saw how stubborn I was, how strong my will is, how every day is a test to surrender to God's will and really to find His will. There are days where I'm not even looking for His will. And so looking for God's will, what is His will, and then submitting to it and saying, Father, this is what I desire, but I know Your will is greater. So let me submit to that, think about that, meditate on Your will, and let Your will be done in my life. Very challenging. I'm thankful for the focus. I'm going to continue to focus on that in my life because this is what God desires. I want to grow in my character. I want to grow in my relationship with God. I want to grow in that conversation with Him. I want to grow in a childlike heart to be able to utter whatever I need to Him. Thank you. And know that He can take it. He's my Father in heaven. I can be real. I can be expressive. I don't have to package it in a religious jargon. I can be me. Prayer. Prayer. For the month of December, we're going to continue this. And we're going to have a unique month where we are coming together. Now, the 4th, which is this Wednesday, will be our all-church midweek. We have it on the first of every month, first Wednesday of every month. And we're going to begin this time together by praying, Father, let Your will be done in 2020. So we're going to have some prayer times. And we're going to begin with our all-church midweek this Wednesday. Following that, I believe it's the 11th and the 18th, come if you want, if you desire. We're going to be here. And whoever comes, we're going to be praying again for God's will to be done in 2020. And so I welcome you. Please come with us and pray with us. It's going to be a great time. Let's go to our Father in prayer. God, we thank you for this wonderful day that we are alive and we are here worshiping you, thanking you, praising you, honoring you. And Father, we're here with our brothers and sisters doing it. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to express our will. Father, you're so patient with us. You're so kind. You desire to hear what we have to say. And Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to move in everyone's mind and heart right now. And Father, you would make it clear to us areas in our lives that we can draw closer to you. Help us to not be timid. Help us, Father, with our anxiety. There's so many things that we worry about that you've already taken care of. Help us, Father, to live a courageous life. Help us to live a faithful life. Help us to see you through your Son each day. Father, let's imitate him. I pray that we can. And we can always, daily, utter these words. Not our will, but yours be done. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to help me with this phrase. You know you're getting old when? Everything hurts. You know you're getting old when everything hurts. Yes. Can we get the mics, guys?
You know you're getting old when you get on the elevator and you love the song.
Ah, you know you're getting old when you get on an elevator and you know and start singing the song. That's old. That's old. Yes. You know you're getting old when? Yes. Ah, yeah. You moan every time you've been down, which I used to ask my father, why do you always go, when you've been down? What's wrong with you? And then I started going, And Sean goes, what's wrong with you? Yes.
When your mind makes a promise that your body can't keep.
When your mind makes a promise that your body can't keep. The mind is positive. The body says, what you talking about, Willis? All right, who else? Yes, you know you're old when?
Sure.
Boomer. Okay, all right. I know the kids know that. Yes.
When young people, when grown people look like high school students.
Ah, when grown people look like high school students. All right. One more. Yes, Cheryl.
When you have a grandchild that turns 16.
Ah, yes, and starts driving. You know, when I knew I was old, when I would watch the Grammys, and I would know who in the heck was on. The only people I knew at the Grammys were the people that were achieving Lifetime Achievement Awards. I said, I know him. I know them. Yeah. So you have these realities, and it's amazing. Kids, you guys, one day, somebody's not going to know Jay-Z. Somebody's not going to know Kanye West or not going to know Adele. The other day, I'm speaking to this couple, and I go, yeah, you know, like Karen Carpenter, which is one of my favorite singers. And they go, who? I said, boy, I am old. They didn't know who Karen Carpenter was. And then, yeah, there she is. Karen Carpenter, you don't know who Karen Carpenter, couldn't believe it. And then a buddy of mine, we were talking about wars and history and Vietnam, and then we brought up Midway. There's a movie Midway, and that's obviously our response to the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor. And these two college students came up, and we were like, yeah, you guys want to see Midway? And they would go, Midway to what? They didn't know. They didn't know about Midway. And so you have these, boy, I'm getting old moments when people don't know what you assume they already know. Whether or not you know about Midway or about Karen Carpenter will probably not have a huge effect on your life. Whether or not you know about Jesus will. You got to know who he is. You got to know what he stood for. So this month, our focus will be on Jesus. The reason for the season. It's Jesus, but it's the reason why we exist. He is the reason why we are Christians. He's the reason why we call ourselves disciples of Jesus. Because of who he is. And so I want to ask you the question this morning. Who is Jesus to you right now in your life? I'm not talking about 30 years ago. I'm talking about right now. 30 years ago, many of us said, Jesus is Lord. Yes, take my life. You are my first love. Is he that right now? Who is Jesus to you? If someone who didn't know Jesus was to come up to you and ask you, who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus to you? What does he mean to you? What would you say? What would your response be? You know, there are many answers to this question, and they're diverse. John alluded to them. To some, Jesus was demon-possessed. They thought his powers did not come from God, but from demons. They literally thought he was out of his mind. Even his family members thought that Jesus was a lunatic. He was insane. He was a blasphemer. How dare he make those claims? Do you know that only God can make that claim? They accused him of being a blasphemer. To others, he was a good teacher. Like many others in their time, he was a good teacher. He said some good things, and yes, he made sense. To others, he was a prophet, one of many, a messenger from God. And to others, he was a wonderful servant. I mean, after all, he fed 5,000. He healed so many people. He's a servant. And to some, he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He was the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they humbled themselves in the sight of the Lord. So for the next few weeks, we'll focus on a few verses that describe who Jesus is. One of the verses I'd like for us to memorize. I'd like for us to memorize. Meditate on, so that we can describe Jesus in the way the writer of Hebrews describes Jesus. Hebrews, written 67 to 69 AD, after Jesus was born. Hebrews gives us references to the Old Testament repeatedly in the book. 29 quotes. Direct quotes of the Old Testament and 53 references to the Old Testament. Hebrews was written to Christians with a Jewish background, written to strongly encourage discouraged Christians. And it encouraged them to continue to fight and hold on to Jesus in superior light. No matter what kind of darkness was going on, still hold Jesus high. And that is a challenge. When things go wrong or things are hard, then we have a tendency to devalue God. To say, where are you, God? You've missed this. You've blown it. You don't really care for me. Why are you allowing me to go through this? And it goes on and on. Many of us can relate to that. Hebrews 1, verse 1, the author, which is unknown, some think it's Paul, some think it's others, he starts off with, long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. He said, long ago, referring to the Old Testament, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. You know, God has always desired to communicate with man. He's always desired to get our attention. He wants to have this exchange, this conversation. And God did it in a variety of ways. You remember how he spoke to Moses and got his attention? By having a bush get caught on fire and stay burning without burning up. And Moses said, that's a strange sight. God wanted to communicate to Moses. He spoke to Elijah by a small, small whisper. Elijah earlier killed all the false prophets. And Jezebel sent him a message that she would have him killed. And Elijah gets scared and hides in a cave. Victorious one day, scared the next. Courageous one day, timid the next. The word of the Lord told him to go out from the cave and listen. And he didn't speak in the mighty wind. Some of us, we want a mighty wind to come. Show us. Be obvious, God. Come on. I need more. He didn't speak to him in the mighty wind. He didn't speak in the earthquake. He didn't speak in the fire. He spoke in a little soft whisper to get his attention. And you know what he said? What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? Now, I don't think that was in a whisper. Maybe it was, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here in the cave? You ever heard God speak to you and say that? You ever been in a place that's dark and you don't really want to be? And you hear God going, what are you doing here? When I was 18 years old, I've shared this many times. We were walking on the beach in Miami, about 3 in the morning. We had our friend girls with us strolling down the beach. And I had heard of the word. I went to church. I knew that I needed to change and become a Christian. And it was as if God spoke to me. I looked up at the stars, and I literally thought this thought. What are you doing, A.B.? Why are you running from God? You know the truth. God has placed someone on your baseball team that has demonstrated the qualities of Jesus and have really, really been gracious to you and showed you the word. What are you doing here? And I remember looking up and going, I got to go. Amen. I got to go back home to Tallahassee. I was in Miami, and I got to become a Christian. Amen. God spoke. Maybe today you're having this feeling of, I'm at a place that I don't want to be at. I want to be at a different place. Maybe God is asking you the same question. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Remember when he spoke to Hosea? You want to talk about intents. Hosea, a prophet, he spoke to Hosea through a family crisis. The Lord told Hosea to marry a promiscuous wife and to have promiscuous children. And because the whole land had been promiscuous by abandoning the Lord, he married Gomer, the prostitute, and gave him names to name the children, one Jezreel, the other No Compassion, and the other name was Not a People. Jezreel, No Compassion, Not a People. You know why? What was God communicating? That just like Israel abandoned me, I'm going to abandon you. And I'm going to have no compassion, and you're not going to be my people. I'm sending this message to you. And then after a while, he would call them to repentance, and he would say, I want to have compassion on you, and I want you to be my people. Amen. See, that's the kind of God that God is. He's forgiving, but he wants to get our attention as well. Remember Amos? He spoke to Amos by a basket of fruit, Amos 8. God will speak through a donkey. He'll speak through a boss, a bad one. He'll speak through whoever he wants. He'll speak through the trees. He will speak. He wants to communicate to you. How is God speaking to you this morning? You see, in Hebrews 1, verse 2, he goes on, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. Last days, they were last days. They were last days because the first days were the days of the patriarch. The first days had many seasons, ups and downs. In the first days, Israel rebelled and God called Israel back. The first days, there were 400 years of prophetic silence. In the first days, Jesus walked on the earth. And since then, we've been living in the last days. After the resurrection, we've been living in the last days. And he said, in these last days, God speaks to us through his Son. God has a lot to say, a lot that he wants to communicate to us, and he wants to say it through his Son. He wants to say it through someone who shares the same nature as he does. He wants to share it in a way that's a prophet's prophet. All the prophets together can't equal Jesus. He wants to have all his dwelling in him. And he wants to communicate. He wants to share his Son's words. He wants to share his Son's life. He wants to share his Son's power. He wants to share his Son's compassion. He wants to share his Son's gentleness. He wants to share his Son's grace and mercy and resurrection and sacrifice and love and obedience. He wants to share his Son with us. Amen. Jesus is also an heir, not so much an inheritor, but more like the possessor of a portion of God. This is what God wants to communicate. And he's a lot more than just a prophet. He is the creator of the universe. You remember in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. John is introducing Jesus, and he says, listen, Jesus was with God. Jesus is God. He was with God in the beginning. He created us. And the creator came to die for his creation. What does that communicate to you? You know, many times we limit ourselves in thinking that Jesus just brought us a message from the Father. But he did more than just bring a message. Jesus was the message. Yep. Jesus was the message. If you want to understand God, you got to understand Jesus. Guthrie said, if men cannot learn about God from the Son, no amount of prophetic voices or actions would convince them. We were in Boston in 1988. We were in this campus ministry. And I was, you know, on Northeastern. And we would have all these campus ministries from Harvard, MIT, Berklee School of Music, all these great colleges, great universities. And the brothers and sisters from Harvard and MIT were the intellectuals, obviously. Berklee, they were the cool musicians. They were the coolest Christians I'd ever seen. They're like, hey, man, you got to love Jesus, baby. I mean, they were cool. They played. I mean, they were just the coolest people. But I was amazed. I learned a lot when I was in Boston for 11 months. I thought you had to be intellectual with the intellectuals versus just showing them Jesus. Never forget a young man from MIT. He was so critical and so just judgmental. He said, oh, I don't know about this Christianity stuff. I said, well, why don't you just read the book of John? And he read it. He studied it. And he read it some more. And then he read Matthew. Then he read Luke. Then he read Mark. And you know what he said after a month and a half? He said, I'm ready to follow Jesus. I said, all right, then let's go. Jesus was studied by him, and God communicated to this young man what he desired through his son. And I don't want us to miss Jesus in all of this discipleship. I know we've been talking about discipleship, we've been studying it, we've been having small groups. Don't miss Jesus. Don't let Jesus be more, or don't let discipleship be more than Jesus. It's because of Jesus we're following him. It's because of Jesus that we're being transformed. It's because of him that we join him in his mission, because who he is. Not for the church. It's for Jesus. And some of us have lost that personal understanding. He's not who he used to be for you and to you. But you got to work on that. You got to meditate on who he is. He's superior. He's the great I am, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Is he your way? Is he your truth? And is he your life? And let me tell you something. We can fluctuate, can't we? We all go up and down, and sometimes we can miss them, and we need to find Jesus again. That's okay. God knows that. He knows we are sheep, and sheep are, well, not that intelligent.
That's right.
What a blessing, though, to live in this age, to live in this time. We have the Old Testament that points us to Jesus, and the New Testament to say, here he is. What a blessing.
Amen.
And we should be without excuse. Yep. We have him written down. We have him recorded. We have all of his miracles, or some of them, for us to see. You know, the personalities of Paul and John and Peter and others came through their writings. You could almost sense who they were through their writings, their letters. In the revelation from Jesus, we can see the personality of God. You can't miss God when you see Jesus. Now, some did. Let me back up. Some did. But if you're looking in a pure heart and you really want to know who God is, you can find him. And, brothers and sisters, you can find him again. You can find him again. You know, in verse 3, and this is the verse that I'd like for us to memorize. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, I'll give you a break. You can just start at after his powerful word. Stop after his powerful word. Let's just memorize that first portion there. Meditate on that. If you want to do the whole thing, amen. I think let's start small and let's work our way up. We got to start memorizing scriptures again. Putting Jesus' word on our hearts. You know, what a verse, what a description. He is the radiance of his glory. The exact expression of his nature. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. He is the radiance of his glory. What does it mean that Jesus is described as the radiance of God's glory? What does that mean? What do you think? The radiance. What does radiance mean? The radiance of God's glory. What do you think the Hebrew writer is trying to get us to understand about Jesus? Yes, Stephanie. There's a mic for you.
He kind of spreads out and shines out and magnifies God's glory so that we can see it.
Mm. He shines out, he magnifies God's glory so that we can see it. Okay? Yeah, Dan. He can catch, I think. Uh-oh. Yeah, that a baby. Good throw, Dan.
I think about like the sun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we interact with the sun through sunlight. That's how we experience it and how we know what the sun is. But the sun itself, if we were to try and interact directly with it, it's too much. We would be destroyed. And I think that's kind of how Jesus is with God. It lets us see God and understand God, but in a safe way, I guess, because God is so pure and so holy that we really can't come directly into contact with him, at least not the way we are.
Yeah. You know, imagine us looking at the sun. What a great point. Looking at the sun directly, well, we really can't do that. It's too powerful for us. So we need what? Put on some shades so that we can handle the light. Do you know when it says the sun is the radiance of God's glory? Dan is so right. God is so pure, so amazing, so overwhelming that if we were to see him, we would fall down dead. We couldn't handle his presence. And so Jesus is that ray of sunshine. Amen. That ray that we can handle. The light that we see from the sun arrived 8 minutes after it left the sun, some 93 million miles away. Can you look directly at the sun? No. We've only seen the rays of his presence through his son. We couldn't handle all the love. We couldn't handle all the power. We couldn't handle the presence of God. We couldn't handle it. We would just crumble. It's overwhelming. So he allows Jesus to shine forth so that we can see God's glory, God's praise, God's honor.
Amen.
You know, the light is so bright, it was bright enough to blind Paul on the road to Damascus. It's so bright, it's bright enough that those in Israel were not able to look at Moses' face because his fading glory was too much after being in the Lord's light. So what is so wonderful, or what is this wonderful light radiating? He says it, God's glory. God's glory, his praise, his divine quality, God's intrinsic worth. That's what it's radiating. This month, my prayer is that we will see Jesus, and because of this, we can truly see God. That we can appreciate what God is trying to communicate with us. That we would take a look at the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And because we see him, then we deny ourselves and follow Jesus. Because we see him, we can allow ourselves to be transformed into his image. Because we see him, we can see the need for others to get to know him and join him in his mission. Amen. If you're missionless, it's because you're not seeing Jesus. Yeah. If you're not changing and being transformed, you're not really seeing Jesus. And if you're not following him, if you're following the world or following your own desires, it's because you really don't see him as he is. Right. He is the good shepherd. And so many times I want to shepherd my own soul. I want to be my own pilot. Well, I don't realize that I don't have the capabilities to lead my life. So I pray that Jesus is to you the exact being that God desires him to be, that we'll be able to share wholeheartedly. Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory in my life. He is the exact expression of his nature, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. And I submit my life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Through Jesus, we can praise God, honor God. Through Jesus, we can see God's divine qualities. Through Jesus, we can see God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to be reminded of how powerful and how personal Jesus can be to us. Father, we ask forgiveness if we've taken him for granted. We ask forgiveness, Father, if we have been short-sighted. We ask forgiveness, Father, if we've not focused on your will, but have been focused on our will. And Father, we ask forgiveness that we just haven't seen your glory like we know we can. Help us, Father, to throw off everything that hinders and repent of the sin that so easily entangles us. And help us not to miss this mark. We love you. We thank you for the times that we can spend with our family during the holidays. We thank you for this upcoming time in prayer that we'll have this month. And Father, we ask that we would just simply see you again. We love you, and we thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our friend, our brother, and Father, our protector and comforter. It's in Christ's name we pray.